Good morning and greetings to everyone. Precious name of Jesus, glad to be here to worship Him and our Heavenly Father this morning with you all. Appreciated the thoughts that Brother Steve brought to us in the devotional of prudence. I certainly can testify the blessing that's been in my life to heed, to hear instruction and hear, receive that. Well, message this morning, I invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. I'd like to take the title for the message from verse 3. In the middle of the verse there, being seen of them 40 days. We are in the time between Easter, Resurrection Day, and the Ascension Day on our calendars. We know that at least most of us, I hope, know this. Maybe some of the children don't realize that it's 40 days from every year from Easter to Ascension Day. That's why Ascension Day is always on a Thursday, because Easter is always on a Sunday. And the reason that it's 40 days is because that's what the Bible tells us. And we'll read here starting in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. As I considered this, I was, as Brother Aaron said this morning, appreciated that he was sharing about how he was seeking what to share in the devotional, but I can echo his words as well, that I was drawn to this, and I believe this is what the Lord wanted me to share. As I studied this thought of the 40 days and the appearances that Jesus made to people, and well, who all did he appear to? And then I came across something that made me look especially at this word here that's given, this being seen, this verb that's given here. And I know it was in the Unger's Bible Dictionary, I believe, where I found this. And the note there was that this being seen is literally through 40 days. He was seen through 40 days, like through the whole period. Namely, in every one of the 40 days. And that was very interesting to me to think about that is the meaning behind these words. Now, we don't have an account of every time, every appearance that Jesus made in those 40 days. You can turn to Acts 13:31 for another testimony to this. Acts 13:31. This is in one of the sermons that Paul preached, and he was preaching to the Jews, and he said that verse 31. He's talking about how Jesus was crucified and God raised him up. And then he said, and he, that's Jesus, was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. So there again, we have that thought of that it was over this time period many times. This word that's translated being seen in Acts 1:3, or was seen in Acts 13:31, is the Greek word, and I'll write it up here for you.
just for your interest's sake. It's in Strong's number 3700. And this is how we would spell it in our with our alphabet. And you say it Optanamahi. And this word means, in Strong, the definition is given as, it's to gaze. In other words, with wide open eyes at something remarkable. And the definition goes on to distinctly show that this is a distinct word. It's different from some of the other words in Greek words that have to do with a seeing. It doesn't mean that it's just a voluntary observation. It doesn't denote that. It doesn't express a merely mechanical, passive vision. It doesn't even have the idea of watching from a distance. But it gives an earnest wide open inspection of something that's remarkable. And to me, this adds weight to the appearances, the accounts that we do have of people that saw Jesus. It was that they had their eyes wide open, and they were seeing this. They were seeing Jesus risen from the dead. This was remarkable. Well, who? I raised the question before. Who saw Jesus after his resurrection? And I'll ask for your input. Children, adults, anyone. Who do you remember from the Bible saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, before he ascended? Titus. Mary, that's right. Who else? There's a hand way in the back. That's right. Peter.
Thomas.
Right, Thomas. There's another one. That's right. The Roman soldiers. Now, I would have to, I'll ask you to supply me with a Bible verse for that, and you can give me that later. Maybe they did. I didn't find a record of that in the Bible. Well, I'm going to give 10 different appearances. And I believe this sums them up, really, the appearances that are recorded in the Bible. We're going to look at them and think about what Jesus did for each one of these people in his appearance to them. First of all, we're going to look at Mary Magdalene. Now, you can open your Bibles to John 20. John chapter 20 and verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Now the other Gospels we could look at mention Mary Magdalene along with other women, that they came to the sepulchre very early in the morning. Another one says at the rising of the sun. John says while it was yet dark. And so it seems that there was a number of women that came before the sun was up, that started on their way from wherever they lived there around Jerusalem and Bethany, that started on their way to come to see this. Mary Magdalene is the one that's mentioned here in John. Now, I stopped reading there. She came, it says that she came and saw the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And then verse 2, I'll continue. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. And so I think because of what she says there, we know not where they have laid him, that she and the other women that were with her, there was at least one for sure that's mentioned, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, was with her. And they saw that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. And Mary Magdalene runs and tells Peter and John right away. Now just we're going to follow Mary's story here a little bit. So she tells Peter and John, and then they run. I'm just going to continue reading here in 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together. And the other disciple, which is John, did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. So, apparently, Mary followed Peter and John back to the sepulchre. She was probably tired from running to tell them the news. Peter and John were fresh, and they took off. And as she came back, they perhaps had already left. We don't know. But she stood without, and she was there weeping. And she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre, and what does she see? Verse 12, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, this is interesting because Mary Magdalene was there when Jesus was buried. We can look at other accounts and see that detail. It's given very plainly that she saw how the body was laid. She and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And so when she looked in, she saw, and she knew how Jesus' body was, and she saw that there was an angel sitting, one of the head and one of the feet. And verse 13 now, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She doesn't even know yet that Jesus has rose from the dead. She doesn't know that. She thinks that his body is taken away, and we see that in her answer. She says, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. They don't even have time to tell her that Jesus is rose from the dead. He's alive. She turns away. It says in verse 14, when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. So she had stooped down, looked in the sepulchre, saw the angels. They asked her a question. She answered, and then she turns away and sees Jesus, and she thinks He's the gardener. Verse 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. She still thinks that Jesus' body has been taken out of the tomb, and she doesn't realize that he has risen from the dead. I don't know. I don't know why Jesus reserved this privilege to reveal to her that he had risen from the dead. But notice what happens now. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. I don't know how Jesus said that. I'm just saying it like maybe I think he said it to her. But it was, he said her name in a way that she had heard him say it before, I believe. We know about Mary Magdalene that Jesus had cast out of her 7 devils. He said her name, and she knew immediately that it was Jesus. And she acknowledged that. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go tell my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. I guess to think about the fact that Jesus said her name and she recognized and knew who he was and believed all in that moment, I believe shows to me that Mary loved the Lord Jesus and she had a relationship with him before that. And that in that there was a connection. And Jesus reserved that privilege of revealing to her that he was risen from the dead. He revealed that to her himself. She was the first one. And that's clear in... I believe it's in Mark. But you can read that. It's said specifically that she was... He first appeared unto her. And he tells her here, touch me not. And we know that from the other accounts where Jesus met the other women that were at the sepulcher, it says that they came and held him by the feet. And so I believe Mary was going to be trying to do that as well. They held him by the feet and worshipped him. And I think she must have wanted to do that as well. Well, let's look now at the other women. Turn to Matthew 28, first of all, and then Luke. Matthew 28, I'm not going to read all of this. This is a familiar account, but here we have that it was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, and we have this conversation that the angels had with the women. I'll start in verse 5. The angel, which had come and rolled back the stone, the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye. For I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. So, the women, I think, except Mary Magdalene. I think Mary Magdalene had already left to tell James, to Peter and John. But the angel here, notice he says, come. It seems like he he maybe led them into the sepulcher and said, look, here's where Jesus was laying. He's not here. He's risen. And they charged the women, or he charged the women, to go tell the disciples, go tell Jesus' disciples that he's risen from the dead and that they should meet him in Galilee. And verse 8 now, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And so they obeyed. They obeyed what the angel had told them to do. And verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I especially want to bring out the obedience that these women demonstrated in going to tell, and Jesus rewarded them, I believe, with showing them himself. He appeared to them. And there's some thought that, well, how, when you study all the movement, was this actually on the way back? Were they on the way back when they met Jesus? Well, we're not sure about that. But it does say that as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. So it was in connection with some movement that morning. Turn now to Luke, because he gives the names, some more names of these, of the women that were there. And then yes, Luke 24. Actually, verse 23, or chapter 23 and verse 55 talks about Luke 23 and verse 55. The women also which came with him from Galilee follow after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. This was why the women were coming early. They had prepared these things to anoint Jesus' body, to prepare it for the burial process, finishing the burial process. And then, of course, we have the beginning of chapter 24, that they came with the spices which they had prepared and bought. Some accounts say that they bought spices. And now in verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now one of these women that's not mentioned here but in other place was Salome. She was also in this group. Salome was the wife of Zebedee, mother of James and John. And so some of these, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, James was one of Jesus' disciples as well. He was called James the Less, or James the son of Alphaeus. And so these were mothers telling their sons, we met angels at the tomb, and they said that Jesus is arisen from the dead. His body's not there. And they told us that we're there to tell, we are to tell you, you go to Galilee and Jesus is going to meet you there. I'm blessed with the obedience of these women. And one thing I came across in my studies is that sometimes there's critics and doubters of the resurrection. But one of the things that if this was going to be fabricated by Jesus' disciples and try to make it look like Jesus rose from the dead, they wouldn't have chosen women to be the first witnesses, because women's word didn't count in a court in those days. Their testimony wasn't reliable. It did not stand. And so it was a testimony, and I think perhaps, well, I don't know. Maybe it was following with, because the Lord Jesus brought was born of a woman, and here he was. The women were the ones that heard about it first and got to tell the disciples, and also Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, a woman, first after his resurrection. The third appearance that we'll look at is here in Luke. If you still have your Bibles open there, Luke 24. And that is to two on the way to Emmaus. Luke 24 and verse 13. I'm going to read now. Luke 24, 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. It's about 7.5 miles or something like that. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to be have crucified him. But we trusted that had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. I'm just going to stop there and point out a few things. One is that there's only one name mentioned here of these two, Cleopas. And there's some discrepancy among scholars about who he actually was. I won't go into that. But the other one's not mentioned. Maybe it was his wife. Maybe this was the couple as they were going back to their place where they lived in Emmaus. We don't know that. But one thing we do know, and that is they had heard the testimony of the women who had been at Jesus' tomb, and that it was empty. And the testimony that the angels had said, Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. But they didn't know that anyone had actually seen him yet. They must not have heard the testimony of Mary Magdalene at this point. She had told that to Jesus' disciples, I believe, to the 11. So they still didn't realize that someone had seen Jesus yet. Verse 25. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. So, their eyes were holding. I believe God held their eyes that they could not recognize Jesus until the time that he wanted them to recognize him, when Jesus broke the bread. And again, I think there must have been something that they had seen him do before. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. But didn't he say, what he said, Oh, fools, and slow of heart to believe. This was the disciples. They weren't expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. The women weren't either. But the disciples, the men, they just could hardly believe it. They were very slow to believe. Which again is a testimony that this was not something that they were trying to fabricate and make
make us show that this had actually happened when it didn't. That we were so slow to believe. Now, you notice that when they got back to Jerusalem, these two, they came and found the 11 gathered together. And I believe that verse 34 is the testimony of the people that they met. It's not their testimony. It's the testimony of the people that they met. They came in the door and they were telling them, the Lord is risen indeed. Like, now they knew about it there. And he hath appeared to Simon. And that's Peter. We'll look at him in just a minute. And then verse 35, they told what things were done in the way. So then the two from Emmaus told the 11 and those that were there with them about what happened to them. Now, at this point, we're going to look at Peter. He's the next one that Jesus appeared to. Now, we don't have a specific account in the Bible of Jesus appearing to Peter. All we have is this mention here in verse 34 that he appeared to Simon, and also in 1 Corinthians 15:5. And you can write down your notes and look it up. I'm not going to turn to it. But Paul writes there, and he mentions some that Jesus appeared to, and one of them is Cephas, which is Peter. He's known as that. So at some point in this day, Jesus appeared to Peter. And Peter left the tomb, Luke 24 says, Luke 24:12. I didn't read those words. It says, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wandering in himself at that which was come to pass. When John left the tomb, or John entered the tomb, he believed. It says specifically in John, we read that, that John believed when he saw. Peter left wandering in himself. But I don't know. I can't imagine what Peter's state of mind was. In just 3 days, Jesus was captured in the night, tried in the night, Peter denied him in the night, and by 9 o'clock the next morning he was on the cross. And by the afternoon he was dead and buried in the tomb by the evening, all in less than 24 hours. And then there was the Sabbath. And now, the tomb is empty. We know Peter was sorry that he had denied the Lord. He went out and wept bitterly. And I just think it was must have been a blessing to Peter that when Jesus appeared to him on this day. We don't know what they said, what they said to each other. But when we look later at when Jesus appeared by the Sea of Galilee, something had happened to Peter, didn't it? And we'll read those words. But I think it was a wonderful gift that Jesus gave to Peter by appearing to him. The next group, number five, is to the 11. And we read that, or started to read that, here in chapter 24 of Luke. And I'll start reading at verse 36 again. So the 11 were gathered together. This was the evening or the night. Know how late it was in the evening. So they went to Emmaus and then came back from Emmaus. But it was still that first day after the resurrection. Verse 36 of Luke 24, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. So here were they're the 11, it mentions, and the others that were with them. They were terrified. And Jesus said, verse 38, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts rise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. What a blessing that Jesus took the time to calm their fears and to show them himself. Look, this is me. Yes, I see my hands where I was nailed to the cross, and see my feet, and another place. And we'll look at that. We'll look at that next. Turn to John 20. John 20 and verse 19 begins with, I think, the same account. It's the same day. And Jesus came and said, "Peace be unto you." Verse 20 says, he showed them his hands and his side. And then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, down to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So, even it mentions the 11 in Luke, that it was the 11, but apparently 11 just simply means it was the group of them, the disciples, but Thomas was not there when Jesus came. And so we know the story, at least most of us do. Verse 25 here in John 20, the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." You can imagine, if Thomas wasn't there and he came back and they told him that, wouldn't have he accepted that? But no, he did not. He did not. He said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger to the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. So this is like a week later. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus was so gracious with Thomas, wasn't he? In another account it says that when Jesus came, he upbraided them for their unbelief. If this is what he said to Thomas, it was very gentle upbraiding, wasn't it? Very gentle. "Be not faithless, but believing." What encouraging words Jesus said to them. That's a lesson for me, to be an encouragement. Jesus said then to Thomas, verse 29, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And that's the group that we're part of this morning. There's a blessing. By believing the Word of God, the accounts that we have that God has preserved for us today. Turn now to chapter 21 of John. This is the seventh group. There were seven disciples here by the Sea of Galilee. I'll start reading verse 1. "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord.
Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat about unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish lay thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And so, I believe if we count that Jesus showed them to himself the evening of the resurrection day when Thomas wasn't there, and then 8 days later he showed himself to them again when Thomas was there, and now this is the third time. We don't know what time this was or how many days later it was, but it was time enough for the disciples to travel to Galilee, which is where Jesus had told them to go, and he was going to meet them there. And they went there, and in the time of waiting, I suppose, Peter said, Let's go fishing, which was his trade. And the others went with him. What did Jesus do here for these men? Well, obviously, he told them where the fish were, didn't he? And I believe Jesus, I've never been to the Sea of Galilee, but those who have been there, the hills encroach on the sea, and in a lot of places anyway. And so Jesus was up on the land and probably was able to see the fish. If you've ever been up high, you can see down on the water and see the fish much easier than someone that's right on the bank because of the angle. And Jesus could see that, and he said, "There, right there, on that side of the boat, there's a whole group of them. Just throw your net there." The other thing that Jesus did here was made breakfast for the disciples. I think that's beautiful. He had fish and bread, and Jesus served them then as well. Verse 13, he served them breakfast, and they knew it was him. Nobody needed to ask him, Well, who are you? It was Jesus. And then we have the account where Jesus talks to Peter, and I'm not going to take time to look at that and read that, but we see that Peter, he never wavered after this, did he, in his love for the Lord. He never wavered. Never denies the Lord again. Well, the eighth one is, you can turn to Matthew 28, and this is again to the 11. Matthew 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus apparently began to teach them about the great commission that he had for them. The other, I don't know, it mentions here that some doubted, and I don't know what that signifies other than that there were some that doubted that were there. In 1 Corinthians 15, we have the account that Jesus appeared at one time. He was seen of above 500 brethren at once. That was Paul's testimony. I don't know if this was the time or not. Now, we know that the 11 were there for sure. And I thought maybe that among the 500 brethren, there were some that doubted a little bit. Because I think the 11 were convinced by this time. But we don't know. But Jesus did appear to that many people at one time, over 500. Number nine is to James, and you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7. This is where we have this recorded, the only place we have this recorded. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 7. After that, which is after the 500 brethren, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Now, I did not realize this, but as I studied, I always thought that this was probably, I don't know, I guess I never studied into it, but who is this James? Well, in studying it, everything points to that this was James, the brother of Jesus, the one who wrote the book of James. It wasn't James, the son of Zebedee, because he had already seen Jesus, he had already met Jesus. And as I studied this, the book of Acts mentions James a number of times. He was a leader in the early church. And he was one that was, you could say, the president of the Jerusalem Council. You remember that. And he was the one who Paul would report to. At least when Paul came back from his third missionary journey, he'd report to James. And James was, if we look in the book of Galatians, James and Peter, and one other man, I forget his name, but they were part of the ones who gave the charge to Paul and Barnabas to go preach to the Gentiles. And so this is intriguing me that James, the brother Jesus, that Jesus appeared to him in a special appearance. So, but see, James didn't always believe. And you could look in the Gospels. We don't have time to look at that, but Matthew and Mark talk about that James and his brothers and his mother were trying to, they were seeking Jesus. They wanted to talk to him. And it seemed like his Jesus ministry somehow was cumbersome to them. John 7 is where we find that his brothers, Jesus' brothers, didn't believe in him. And they didn't believe unto him until after the resurrection. But then they're mentioned in Acts chapter 1 when they were in the upper room after Jesus ascended to heaven. James was there because it mentions Jesus' mother and his brethren were there. And so this James is Jesus' brother. And I don't know what Jesus communicated to him in that meeting. If it was a charge to him in leading the early church there at Jerusalem, because he stayed and was faithful. He was known as James the Just. Well, this verse also mentions, this verse here in 1 Corinthians 15, the last part of verse 7, then of all the apostles. And that brings us to the last appearance. The final appearance, which we'll turn back now to Acts 1. The final appearance at his ascension. I'm going to start reading at verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. We'll read to verse 12. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he saith unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So we have the setting here. This was on the Mount of Olives, just on east of Jerusalem. And how it was that they all gathered there, and that Jesus, if Jesus went with them there or if he appeared there, we don't know. But he was teaching them about their work in the future. And I think it's a wonderful blessing that he gave to them, that they saw him ascend. It wasn't that he suddenly vanished out of their sight. Like in some of the other appearances, he would be there and then he would be gone. He would vanish. He could go through doors, closed doors, walls. But this was not that way. This was his ascension to heaven. And I believe he wanted the disciples to witness that, to know where he had went. Because he had told them that if he goes away, that he's going to come again. And the angels bear that testimony as well. Now, in closing, this word that we talked about at the beginning, this Greek word I wrote there on the board, as I looked at other places where it was used in the New Testament, it was amazing to me. This word is used, this word, this to gaze word with wide open eyes at something remarkable, is used by the angels in Matthew 28. When they told the women, you go tell the disciples that they're supposed to go into Galilee, and Jesus is going to meet them there. There shall they see me. That see, that's the same word. There they're going to gaze at me. And when in Luke 24, when the two from Emmaus got back to Jerusalem and they were coming in the door and the others were saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. That's the same word, appeared. It's the same word as is used in Acts 1. It's the same word that's used, that Paul uses the same word in 1 Corinthians 15 when he talks about who appeared, that Jesus appeared to this person, that person, then the 500 brethren, and so on. And he even uses it when he tells his story to, I think it's King Agrippa. He tells his story about how Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He uses that same word, that Jesus appeared to him. And we know that's Paul's testimony. It was after Jesus' ascension, but Jesus appeared to Paul. Now I'd like to turn to Hebrews 9:28 for closing scripture. Here again, this word is used. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Here we have the same Greek word is used. So his appearing is what we're looking for now. And there's going to be a number of responses to his appearing. One will be fear, one will be acknowledgement, and one will be joy. And the scripture says that those that pierced him, they're going to look upon him, and that's the same word. Those that pierced him are going to look upon him and realize that the one who they scoffed, the ones that they rejected, those that today are rejecting Christ, they're rebelling against him, they're going to gaze upon him and realize that he is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may we with joy anticipate his coming. Shall we kneel in prayer?